Morning. And it's good to be in God's house this morning. And what a God that we serve. He's the all-sufficient God. Whatever we need, we can find in God. This morning I want us to read from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're just going to read two verses. Verses 14 and 15. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us. For the love of Christ compels us. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live shall live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. Now I want to begin this morning by sharing with you an excerpt from an article from New Jersey, dated 18th of January 2023. And it's headlined, Mom Dies Trying to Save a Daughter 6 from a Burning House in New Jersey. And it says, a vigil was held for a New Jersey mother who died while trying to save her daughter from a house fire. William Montanaro screamed for his family to flee their burning house as the smoke alarm went off. While outside, they discovered their six-year-old daughter, Madeline, was missing. William said his wife charged into the family's burning home with a mother's love and courage of a police officer, fueling her attempt to save her daughter. A mother's love. Compelled by love, this mother sacrificed her life for her daughter. Love for her daughter drove her to what a lot of persons would think unthinkable. But she was compelled by love. The Apostle Paul, in his response to his critics and his defense of his ministry, in this passage he said, you know what drove me, or what drove me, or what drives me to live the life that I live? What drives me to spend my life the way I live? He said, what caused me to exert the passion and energy that I do? What helps me, or what drives me, what moves me to have this all-out commitment? What moves me to work so unashamedly and tirelessly is summed up in these six words. The love of Christ compels me. The love of Christ compels me. And I want to challenge all of us this morning with this question. How compelling is the love of Christ in your life? Where is the evidence? How compelling is the love of Christ in your life? Where is the evidence? The belief that on the cross, Christ acted on behalf of the entire human race became the foundation of Paul's thinking and action. And when we think of the word compel, it talks about to be hemmed in, to hold on both sides, to take away all options, to give no way out, to back in a corner. And sometimes when we think about God and our service for God, sometimes we think that we have options. But what Paul was saying here, as far as he is concerned, when he thinks of the love of God, he says that he has no options. That he is hemmed in. That he is boxed in. And the love of Christ compels him. Christ's love had taken captive of Paul. And no matter what God or Christ required, Paul felt that he was obligated in light of what Jesus Christ has done for him. He was saying here that because Jesus Christ willingly died for him, that there was no motivation stronger. Because understanding this morning what Jesus Christ did for him, that Jesus Christ saw him not just as a person to be loved, but good enough to die for him. And Paul said, because of this, the love of Christ constrains me. The love of Christ compels me. And I believe Paul would have inspired that hymn, or been inspired by that hymn, inspired the writing of this hymn, when he talk about God's love and Christ's love. The love of God is greater by far the tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty peer bowed down with care. God gave his son to win his erring child, he reconciled and pardoned from sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could a scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. And this morning, I want us to look at what is it about this love that compelled Paul. And one of the first things about this love is that this love sacrifices. This love sacrifices. Verse 15 tells us he died for all. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation and became obedient. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Out of love, he sacrificed the splendor of heaven, and he came to earth to die for you and for me. To sacrifice his life for you and for me. We read in his word also that he became our sin offering. He who knew no sin, he became our sin offering, that we might be made righteous in the sight of God. Love compelled him to go to the cross. Love kept him on the cross. This love sacrifices. This love is a sacrificial love. I want to honestly do this morning is to think as the words of the song. And when God, when he thought his son, not sparing, sent him to die. Amen. When we think of that this morning, that upon that cross, all our burdens gladly bearing this morning, how compelling is Christ's love to you? Where is the evidence? This love is also gracious, because it is unmerited, it is undeserved. Paul said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of which I am chief. I was the worst. Romans 5:8 tells us that Christ Jesus died for us while we were still sinners, while we were still his enemies. We didn't have the capacity to love. We didn't have the ability to do anything good to please God. God's wrath hung over our heads. And Ephesians says we were without hope in this world. We were undeserving of such love. We were like sheep. We had gone astray. We were the ones who would have turned our backs on God. But Ephesians says about God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, he died for us who were undeserving of such love. When you think this morning of the fact that you had no hope, that you were undeserving of such love, yet Jesus Christ still chose to die for you and for me. How compelling is Christ's love in your life? Where is the evidence? This love loves before the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 declares that in love he has predestined us. And what that says is that before the breath entered in our lungs, God loved you and me. Jesus Christ chose to love you and me even before we were born. He knew us. He knew all that we would have done, but yet he chose to love you and me. He chose to love us even before we set foot on this earth. What love this morning. What love. This love is also uninfluenced. This love is also uninfluenced. In Deuteronomy, read of God's love for Israel. I know what he said. He said, there was nothing special about you. He said, you were, when compared to other nations, you were nothing. But he said, I chose to love you. There was nothing about you that was lovable, but I chose to love you. And how amazing is this love this morning? In John chapter 1 verse 4, 1 John chapter 4 verse 10, it says, there is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sin. Think about that. There was nothing good about us. It was not that we chased after God. It was not that we went after God. God chose to love us. Jesus Christ chose to love you and me. This love is uninfluenced. And when we think about that, how compelling is Christ's love in your life? Where is the evidence? This love is also immutable. This love is unfailing. Psalm 147 verse 11. The psalmist declares that this love is unfailing. Christ's love is constant. It is consistent and steadfast. Even with all our flaws, even when we mess up, even when we remain unfaithful, Christ's love remains constant. His love is unfailing. His love is stable. His love is comforting. And when we think about humans, how much humans change and shift in terms of how they love us, sometimes humans love us because of our circumstances or because what we have done for them. But Jesus Christ's love is immutable. His love is unfailing. So when we are going through our difficult times, we can count on the unfailing love of Jesus Christ. And when we think through the Bible of Peter and many of those who would have messed up, Jonah and the like, and we see even though they've messed up, Jesus Christ, God still chose to love them. We can count on the unfailing love of Jesus Christ. The next thing about this love is eternal. This love is infinite. This love is eternal. This love is infinite. There is no limit to God's love. He will never run out of love for us. He gives and gives. And that's why Paul said in Ephesians that we cannot even fathom the depths, the height, the width, the length, the breadth of God's love. Romans 8, it says that nothing, absolutely nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Think about that this morning. That the love that Jesus Christ has for us, nothing in this universe, nobody is able to separate us from this love. And that is a love that Paul talks about that compelled him. That when he thinks that nothing, in spite of who he was, in spite of the life that he lived, that nothing is able to separate him from that love. He said, the love of Christ compels me. And this morning, the question is, how compelling is the love of Christ in your life? Where is the evidence? Now, based on Paul's life, what is a life that is compelled by Christ's love? Based on Paul's life, what is a life that is compelled by Christ's love? In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 19, Paul prayed that we would gain a greater comprehension of Christ's love. That we would grasp the vastness, the length, the breadth of Christ's love. And he prayed that we'd be rooted and grounded in the truth that Jesus Christ really loves us. And I want us to make a statement here this morning that the love of Christ is more than a fact to be believed. It demands a lifestyle to be lived. Let me say that again. The love of Christ is more than a fact to be believed. It demands a lifestyle to be lived. Now, if Jesus was motivated by love to bring hope to a broken world, this love must be our motivation as well. So based on Paul's life, there are a number of things I want us to look at about this love. A life that is compelled by this love. And one of the first things is that it is a life that surrenders to this love. It is a life that surrenders to this love. On the road to Damascus, Acts chapter 9, Paul had an encounter with this loving Christ because Jesus Christ singled him out and extended a special grace and mercy to him. And in response, Paul surrendered to the love of Jesus Christ. Paul was a persecutor on his way to Damascus to imprison, to persecute the saints. But Jesus Christ reached out in love and stopped him in his tracks. And when Paul saw that love, Paul surrendered to that love. So a life that is compelled by love One evidence is that that life surrenders to that love. Second thing, a life that is compelled by this love is a life that no longer lives for self, but for the one who sacrificed his life. Verse 15 tells us that Paul said, because of that love, that he no longer lives for himself, but he sacrifices himself. And that is why in Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Because what Paul was saying, because of this love, I can no longer live for myself. I can no longer live to do my own will. I have surrendered to this love, and I am no longer living to please myself, but I'm living now to please the one who loved me. Paul was saying here that he is crucified with Christ. All his passions, all his desires, they have been crucified because Jesus Christ loved him, and he now lives for the cause of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, a life that is passionate to let the lost know that they are loved by Christ. Another evidence of a life that is compelled by this love is a life that is passionate to let the lost know that they are loved by Christ. When the implications of the statement "he died for all" took hold of Paul, it changed his feelings, it changed his perspective of how he saw people. He saw everyone as being loved by God, and as a person whom needs to understand and who needs to know that God loves them. So what happened to Paul? He was now on a mission to let the whole world know that God loved them. Those who are lost in their sins, Paul was on that mission now to know that they know that God loves them. And that is why, in comparison to those persons who were criticizing him in Corinth, that he was saying, I am not manipulating people. I am not doing this for any ulterior motive. I am doing this because I am compelled by the love of Christ. I am doing this because I am moved to let the whole world know that Christ loves them. And fourthly, evidence of a life compelled by love is a life where life and comfort are second to the mission of Christ. It's a life where life and comfort are second to the mission of Christ. Hear what Paul says in Acts 20, verse 20 to 24. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. The threat of prison and death did not deter Paul. When he reflected on what Jesus Christ did for him on that cross, that love motivated him, that love drove him to do all for Christ, no matter the cost, no matter what it took from him. Because for him, because of the love of Jesus Christ, his life and comfort were second to the mission of Jesus Christ. So this morning, have we been given this love that Paul received? Have we been given the same love? Then how compelling is Christ's love in your life? Where is the evidence? Have you surrendered to this love? You might be here this morning and you have heard about this love. And maybe this is not the first time that you're hearing about the magnitude of this love. And you know and believe that God loves you. But as we said, this thing about God's love is more than a fact to be believed. It demands a lifestyle to be lived. When you think this morning that this love, Jesus Christ came in love to save you from hell, how have you responded to this love? How have you responded to this love this morning? When you think this morning that you didn't deserve it, that Jesus Christ in love, he went to that cross, he suffered a shame, suffered a pain, died in your place as an expression of his love for you this morning. How have you responded to his love? Would you be moved this morning to surrender to this love like Paul? Has this love compelled you to stop living for what gratifies you and start living for what glorifies Christ? Do you do what you do primarily out of obligation or to please others or for the applause? How much of what we do in church is done out of the fact of Christ's love having such a hold on you that it compels you to do what you do? When you are wronged and finding it hard to forgive, how does Christ's love compel you? How does your response show that you are compelled by the love of Christ? When you are tempted to sin, what evidence points to you being compelled by the love of Christ? And say like Joseph, how can I do such a thing and sin against my God? How does your devotional life demonstrate that you are compelled by the love of God? How does the love of God affect your giving? How does your giving show or demonstrate that you are compelled by the love of God? When you look at your passion and effort in reaching the lost, how much of it reflects the fact that you are compelled by the love of God? How does the love of God compel you to be concerned and actively engaged daily in reaching people for Christ? When you encounter people who are lost, when you look at people in your community, people who are steeped in sin, how much do you see them as being loved by Christ? And how much are you moved because of the love that Christ showed to you to reach them for Jesus Christ? How much does the lyrics of this old hymn is your mantra because of Christ's love? And the hymn says, must I go and empty-handed thus my Savior, my Redeemer meet? Not one day of service give him, lay no trophy at his feet. Must I go empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go. Not at death I shrink or falter, for my Savior saves me now. But to meet him empty-handed, thought of that now clouds my brow. How much does the love of Christ move you to fully commit to God's mission and purpose for your life? What does the evidence reveal? Have you been making excuses? Or have you been allowing perceived obstacles and threats to discourage you from executing your purpose and mission that God has called you to? Or has the love of Christ consumed you so much that nothing stops you, nothing matters in making Christ known? This morning, or this afternoon, it is easy to lose that passion, that love for Christ. It is easy to lose your perspective, because sometimes we get so busy, we get so distracted. But that didn't happen to Paul. This morning, may the love of Christ have such a hold on us that we say like City Star, who echoed some want to live within the sound of church or chapel bell, but I want to run a rescue shop within a yard from hell. May we be moved by the love of Christ that we say like this unknown African pastor. He said, I am part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of his. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sidewalking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame divisions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudit, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on his presence, walk by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by love. My feet is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way rough, my companions few, my guide reliable, my mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the adversary, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let up, until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, sing up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go till he comes, till I drop, preach till I all know, and work till he stops me. And when he comes for his own, he'll have no problem recognizing me. My banner will be clear. Amen. This morning, may the love of Christ compel us. God bless us.